What would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck.
Well then, screwing up already here on St. John Forward Radio. Accidentally unplugged it. If you wanted to hear the rest of the intro, Chris Trotter was going to say he's either going to kill or he's going to suck. It's John Forward, and that's me. This is St. John Forward Radio. We're in the pre-recording booth on a slowly getting darker Saturday evening. It's yeah, it is that. So anticipate more screw-ups with the whole situation here as I remember how to do it. But anyway, let's get into some uninformed pontificating. Last week, I mentioned being in Newfoundland doing some shows and talked a bit about being able to travel around to different places and kind of just find a group of comedians and participate, a little bit of comedy tourism, and I enjoy doing that. Last summer, I've mentioned before, I went to Portland, Oregon for a week, and I've gone down to Halifax for a few times, and it's nice just to immerse into the local comings and goings, and I was thinking last week, I'm going to turn down my mic a little bit because it's going too loud. All right. So, it kind of, put something into perspective for me. It's something I've been trying to, explain for a little while, but I didn't ever really have the right words for it before. I think I talked about it on the Sploodcast a long time ago about the difference between comedians, and I think at the time I talked about how there was like comedians and entertainers, and like ideally you want to be both, but that doesn't really work, and that seems kind of condescending, as if I'm saying that some of these alleged entertainers are not comedians. So that didn't really work, but I think. What I was going for, I think it makes more sense to talk about talent and skill as two separate kind of pieces of the puzzle. Some people have, well, everybody's got various levels of both, but, you know, everybody's got kind of a different balance. Ideally, again, you want to have both. That's clearly they're both things are important, so you want to have both, but some people have more of one than the other, and that, anyway. I think as the comedian or as somebody who creates things, I think that the talent part is more important. That's like being genuinely funny or having a point of view, being interesting, having good taste, and just being able to think differently than some people, and self-awareness, I think, is. And there's probably a million other things that I'm not thinking of, but that stuff, I think, is kind of more innate. It's not really something that you can learn. Like when I started doing it, I was pretty conscious that kind of outwardly to actually do a set, I wasn't as good as I could have been. Like I was just always waiting for my actual delivery of the stand-up comedy to kind of match my like the version of it in my brain before like it gets all messed up in the printing process of coming out onto an actual stage. And I don't know, I just I knew that I could be good, but I don't know. Part of the fun of comedy is to keep trying it again and again, and trying to get that perfect, like undiluted version of it that's in your head out onto into the real world, and it just you can keep finding things to work at. I've I think I could be really good at crowd work. I wouldn't say that I am currently. I've had moments, but I don't have the proper skill to pull it off pretty consistently, but I think that stuff comes with time. The skills thing, rather than being stuff that you're born with, it's stuff that you can learn, like talking into a microphone, remembering your set, delivering it with confidence, building a set, like making eye contact with the audience, changing things up if something is going wrong, just being likable, just being able to actually translate the inner talent into the real world again. And I don't know. I think I look at talent as more important, but people that are more in the business of comedy, people that are making shows and trying to make money and sell tickets, they want both too. They want talented and skilled performers, but they probably lean more towards the skill side of things, because if you've got people that are buying like $20 tickets to come to see somebody, they don't want to feel like they're watching somebody practice something. You want somebody who knows how to put on a good show for people, and it doesn't matter if they've got all of the potential in the world, if they just currently suck at making it happen, then that's not something that people are looking for. But for my shows, I'm not it's not going to be on TV or anything. It's fairly low stakes, and I still enjoy seeing the talented people that sometimes come across that just haven't learned the skills yet, and they just stumble through something that that I can tell will be good someday. I think part of the lack of skills that myself and some people have is because we don't have as much stage time here as they do in the different cities that I've gone to that have scenes that have been around longer, and they have some places have comedy open mics every night of the week, and you can do that if you want to. In St. John and around New Brunswick, most of the shows are monthly. I'm probably, on average, probably doing like once a week, which I'm fine with. I think we're missing out on something, not being able to go up every night of the week and do a set or even multiple sets in different places. But being at these in these other cities, though, just as much as it would be kind of a blessing to be able to do like five sets a week, I find the more shows that there are, people, the audience and the comedians don't really treat the show with as much respect. It's just kind of a messing around, working things out, which is exactly what it's for. But if you're in the room watching it, it's the stakes are just a bit lower, and you know, people, if they don't feel like showing up, they know that they can just come to the one the next week anyway, so it's not as much of an event. But I think we could, even if I'm too lazy to want to do seven shows a week, it's good for people to have that option if they want to do it. But I think we should lead up to it. Like right now, there's, for open mic shows, like Yuck Yucks does once a month, I have No Jokes Barred once a month, the Wilsers Room up in Fredericton is once a month, and that's about it. I think we should at least get to the point where there's at least something, some kind of show like that that's accessible, that people can get on to as much as they want to, at least once a week, and then maybe we can lead up to five nights. And I don't know what I'm talking about. This has just descended into, I don't think this whole thing has an ending. So I'm just going to say hello to my guest, Chanel Freire. Am I saying your name right? I probably asked you that before, but...
Freire.
Freire?
My brother in French, but it's Portuguese.
All right. So mm-hmm. She's on the show. She's in town this weekend at Chuckles over in Parkway with Scott Belford, Brian Giles, and Arif Hussein. Mm-hmm. And we will be back to talk to her. She's from St. John, but based out of Halifax, and they have a bunch of shows every week there, so maybe we can get her side of that. But we're going to play a song first, and I just to sum it up, I when I go out of town and go to these shows, I can. It's fun to do it for a week and do like a bunch of shows all in the same week. But I don't know if I have the stamina to work full time and do like 5 or 6 open mic shows throughout the week. I would just I don't know. I feel like I would probably get burnt out and be dried up, tied up, and dead to the world on St. John Forward Radio. Plug in the phone. Very professional.
I'll be your lover, I'll be forever.
And all back here on St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with my guest, Chanel Frere. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Yeah. I was talking about, you come from a place that does have multiple shows per week. Do you mm-hmm. want to tell me how wrong I am about how it... or am I? Like, what's your perspective?
Some parts of it are true. Everyone gets burnt out and a little shitty. But the benefit far outweighs that, because you're doing it every day, in every mood, in every circumstance, whether you want to or not. And you grow so much just from that. Yeah. It's like a muscle, right? You're using it every day. It doesn't atrophy. If I had one show a month, I'd probably be terrified every time. Yeah. You'd never get over it.
Well, yeah, I agree that it's good for the comedians, but do you find that the actual show suffers, like if it happens that often?
No. Sometimes it's hard to get completely new lineups all the time, but if yeah. everyone's focused on writing new stuff all the time, keeping it fresh, then it's not so bad. It always goes in waves, like there's a new yeah. wave of baby comics, and then, you know, they kind of take over for a little bit. But like I run two of them myself, and there's one every night of the week, and a couple nights there's two, and it just creates stronger comics and more of a following. And we're pretty bad for promoting the scene in Halifax. I still yeah. hear every day, like, people are shocked that there's shows, and let alone every night of the week. So
yeah.
But yeah, like all the ideas that you have, you get used to riffing, and like everything you think through the day, then you have an opportunity that night. And then if you bomb, or you don't, you know, you come up with something, instead of waiting a month to get in your head and, you mm-hmm. know, mull it over, you get a chance the very next day. And sometimes that night you go to another venue and you do it all over again. And
yeah,
it's fantastic for writing.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. But mm-hmm. I think from the audience perspective, though, like my open mic show that I do, that's once a month, like, pretty consistently they'll fill that room every month, because it's more of like mm-hmm. an event. I think if that show happened every week, the attendance would certainly drop right. by some, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think there's also more people, and yeah. we also do all the shows in places where they're already the kind of there, and yeah. then some people are coming specifically for the show, like Tuesday night at the Oasis. I run that one, and there's nothing else going on there, so they're just there for the show. But it's pretty small. But like all the other venues are like burger places or great bars, or
yeah.
So it's actually they do all right.
Yeah, there isn't. I don't know if St. John has like a weeknight nightlife that's strong enough to yeah. To sustain it. Like I haven't been out on a week. I used to work shift work, so I would have like weird weekdays off, and I used to go out and just by myself and wander around uptown and do writing and stuff. But like Monday night, there was absolutely nothing going on anywhere. That's where I actually ended up at the R Bar for karaoke night, and that's where I got the idea of putting on a show there. Tuesdays I used to do like Cougars down on the boardwalk. It's called McGill's now, and that was like an acoustic open mic, but okay. there'd probably be a dozen people there, and none of them cared about yeah. the music even. They were just there because that was the only place that had more than five people in it. Mm-hmm. Well, five people with more than five teeth.
Oh, God.
There's probably a few places that have regular business pretty much every night of the week, but not yeah. necessarily with good comedy audiences, but.
That's true. It is a completely different beast when you're in a smaller town that doesn't have the yeah. venues, or it's a different student population. I don't know, because you can yeah. walk any time of night downtown Halifax. There's going to be people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was like we tried to put on shows at Callahan's on like Wednesdays for mm-hmm. Darren Frost and Kathleen McGee, and could not Nothing? Get like we got. 10 people, I think,
that
total.
Seems weird. Yeah. There's nothing else to do. Wouldn't that be the perfect time to go
yeah,
to?
Yeah, that was a few years ago. It was mm-hmm. before comedy was kind of a big thing in St. John. That was a kind yeah. of a viable option for your night. It was just, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's also a risk, like, especially if people haven't gone out to a show and mm-hmm. they don't know who the comics are, and it costs money. And
right.
Yeah, I hear it all the time. That's why, like, all pretty much all of our mics are free.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone charges to get into any of them. There's like donations if you like.
Mine's pay what you can. I go around halfway through with the donation bucket.
See, that's smart. I do like a shameless kind of busker thing at the very end. But a couple different weeks, the later comics, we lost audience for whatever reason. Maybe they were tired or what have you. But as they were walking out, I was like, fuck. Oh, so close.
That's fine. La, 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 la. Yeah, well, there's an intermission anyway, which isn't great for the flow of the show, but it really, especially I think that audience just needs to be able to go out and have a smoke all at once and get their talking out of the way at some point. You've got to train
audiences that are new to comedy. It's like a whole separate beast.
Mine's usually pretty good, but there is the odd regular that just is hanging out in the bar and has been coming there every day for 25 years that is kind of a problem. But that's pay what you can, so there's a bit more riffraff at that one. The O'Leary show that I do has a $7 cover anyway, which is pretty low barrier of entry, but it's not... Yeah.
They have a comedy show, like a regular comedy show?
Yeah, I do one the first Friday every month. It's more of a showcase show, I would call it. There's less comedians doing longer sets. Like, I have a host and a few 15-minute spots and a half-hour headline.
Okay, yeah. Especially if there's cover involved, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the upstairs acoustic room. And, like, the cover, you get a sugary shot at the door, and you get to see some cover band play for middle-aged people.
That's just fucking on the weekend. Oh man, I swore again. Sorry, radio audience. I can dress her up, you can't take her anywhere.
Yeah, I'm probably not gonna go in and bleep those out.
The first one was an incomplete. It was just a sound. Why do they do that shot at O'Leary's? That seems strange to me.
I think it's just incentive? People hate paying cover charges here, so you get a free shot, which you can just attach a dollar amount to that in your head and think, oh, well, I'm only actually paying $3 to get in.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it. And lights on the dance floor would be great. O'Leary's, if you're out there listening, it is a very aggressive pit.
So both of your shows that you run, I think those have started since I've been there last. So tell me about those shows.
So we have Monday night at the Local at 8:30, which is a great bar. It's like a classy little place. We've been very fortunate with who's been using it, like the writers from Mr. D and 22 Minutes, and like Kathy Jones has been on a few times, and we've lucked out. And then we have the Oasis, which we lovingly call the Rat Basement, which is where we're most comfortable. It's just super fun. They don't have any kind of censorship at all. They don't care what we do. And that's where the comics write the most stuff, like, because you can just try out whatever. And then, every mic is a completely different vibe, which is great, too, because you learn totally different crowd work skills and how to get attention and how to turn a crowd that hates you.
Right. Yeah, I need some work on that.
Yeah. Go do Barely's. We call it the Beautiful Nightmare. It's run by Catherine Robertson on Wednesday nights.
I've done Barely's twice, I think, and I did all right, I think.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's like one of the best spots. It's I think that and Gus's are the longest running mics in Halifax. Yeah. Gus's is Monday night as well at Gus's Pub, hosted by Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, and I've done that one. I've done the Goofy Moose.
Oh, Sunday night, Ian Black.
Yeah,
That is a fun room. I don't know what your experience was, but that crowd was fun.
There was only five people there beside the people that were performing. But
damn, because that's like a super fun room. It doesn't take a lot to fill that room and make it amazing.
But yeah, I think both times I did it, I still had fun, but there was only a handful of people those times. Mm-hmm. So
you gotta come back.
Yeah, and that might be painting my picture of what I think the weekly show looks like, because just luck of the draw, it just happens a lot of time when I'm in town, I'm there on the night where there's five people.
Oh, okay.
Like, even when I was in Newfoundland, people were telling me that Jokes for John's on Thursday nights is, like, the best show and, like, one of the best rooms in the country. And there was a solid 30 to maybe 40 people at the most that were there, but that's another free cover one too, so there was a bunch of loud Newfoundlanders in the back in the background that were not paying attention to the show, and the bar cares more about the business of those five guys than the 40 people watching the show.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Dollars. That's what it comes down to in the end.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
All right. Well, let's... do you want to set up... I've got both of those songs that you asked for. Do you want to pick one and tell us about it?
When you said I had to pick songs, my brain just went blank because I spend too much time in silence and I never listen to music, so I thought about two songs that I like, completely different vibes. So Coco Rosie.
Okay,
we'll go with that one first.
All right, Werewolf, and we'll be back with more Chanel after this, and let's just do the station ID now, I guess. You're listening to normally I can play them, but when I'm doing the pre-records, I can't play stuff off the computer while it's recording onto the computer. So I'm just going to give a very unenthusiastic, you're listening to Local 107.3 FM. And here is Werewolf by Coco Rosie. Oh, I flubbed it again. I got to turn the volume back up on this thing. What did I do wrong? There we go. Highly professional. This goes much better when it's live because the stuff... No, actually it doesn't. I screw them up all the time there too. I'm just making excuses. Here's the song for real.
My soul filled with crystal light. Lavender ribbons of rain sang, ridding my heart of mortal fright. Of mortal fright. Broken sundown, fatherless showdown. Gun hair, swollen lip, bottle sip. Yeah, I suck dick, loose grip on gravity force. Sky blinding, crumbling walls. Never sweep away my memories of children's things, a young mother's love. Before the yearning song of flesh on flesh, young hearts burst open, wounds bleed fresh. A young brother, skinny and tall, my older walks oceanward in somber slumber, sleeping flowers in the water, but I'm just his daughter, walking down an icy grave, leading to my schizophrenic father, weeping willow, won't you wallow louder, searching for my father's power.
The door. much deeper than a river. Sorrow flow through me, tiny waves of shivers. Corny movies make me reminisce. They break me down easy, honest, generic love shit. First kiss, frog and princess.
Let's turn that down. This is just going great. So I think we're halfway through the show. I think it's this is what the listeners are here for. I think we need to address the elephant in the room.
The reconciliation.
Yeah. Chanel and I had kind of a public falling out, and this weekend I think is the first time that we've probably spoken to each other in at mm-hmm. least a year. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like we need to go like item by item on this, but I'm not sure. But it basically started with I put out a blog post that mentioned how when I was headlining a show in Fredericton that I found out that a comedian was asked to open for me, and that person was offended to even be asked. And that person is in the studio tonight. After I posted that the next day, there was a little bit of a blast on my Facebook. So, well, I guess we start there. I honestly didn't mean that. I really didn't mean that as like a calling anybody out situation. I was mostly just feeling sorry for myself.
And yeah, I think that was obvious though at that time. The post was pretty long.
Yeah.
The main problem with that is, well, because I never said I was offended. What I had essentially said was, I'm not driving to Fredericton, I'm not an opener, and he's not a headliner. I said that to Troy.
Right.
I would have worded it very differently to you. This was just between Troy and I. So that was the first foul is... Just like, because
I shouldn't have been repeating things that Troy told me either. He was a little bit upset with me too, and we had a conversation about it and worked it out. But
yeah, I don't know what went down from that side, because then everybody started jumping in and everyone was taking sides. And it was mostly just, it was a learning curve, I think it was a big one. And in a scene so small, you kind of just talk to each other. Yeah. Like, don't say anything behind someone's back you're not going to say to their face. But it would have been worded maybe differently. And in looking back, I also feel like you kind of got it. It was rough. You had a hard time.
Yeah.
And it would have been handled differently now, I think.
Yeah, well, there was it mostly just evolved into a... Well, it started out with a... And it wasn't just you. John Forward isn't funny. The whole St. John comedy scene's garbage and all that. It kind of got out of hand pretty quickly.
I don't think I said that.
No.
That wasn't my thing.
It got
lot of
rolling
people
a lot.
Jumped in, too, yeah. Was the problem. And that's the thing about comics. They tend to be a little hot-headed.
Yeah. So that was a thing. And, I think that started happening around when I got to work that morning, and then like I think 1 p.m. I was like, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And tried to fix it, but we were both upset and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I did the worst thing that a person could do, and I blocked you on Facebook. Just wielding the power. So then there was just kind of an unspoken awkwardness for a while. I
wasn't holding grudges, because when you had approached me later to be like, hey, this is stupid, let's put that aside, I was kind of like, oh yeah, That was like a big thing, wasn't it? Because I kind of forgot about it. Because to me, it just sounded like a normal thing that just happens when you're new in comedy, and then it hit you hard. And I was like, yeah, I could have probably been more delicate with how I worded things, or maybe I should have been like, hey, dude, don't headline just yet. I don't know. But you can't know anyone's anything, what's coming up. Like, you have no idea. Like, I run rooms. I never did end up
bombing the show, so you weren't entirely wrong. I still don't regret doing it.
Yeah, but don't you think that's valid? That's like getting mad at like a 5-year-old because they can't do long division. They're not supposed to know that. Right. You were learning. We're all learning. And that was the whole thing of where I was coming from, is like, you got to learn to walk before you run. We're all baby comics. Headliners, that's a pretty big deal. It takes a long time. And that's why now I'm like, I don't even think I need to say anything to you because you wrote it all out. Shit got real. Because that's the whole thing. You can't learn it any other way than doing it.
Yeah.
But also in small scenes like we are in, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that we're baby comics. Like, when we're the big fish in a small pond, it's like, go to a bigger city or a bigger scene and we would be given like 4 minutes.
I don't know. I think I was just upset a little bit. It just seemed like, well, why didn't she just say no? Why is it also got to be no and how dare you? Which is how
that's how you took it. It was not a how dare you. It was a, this is probably a bad idea. This guy is new to comedy and young and coming from a scene that hasn't had a lot of experience.
To be fair, it was a half-hour headlining spot, which I had done before, like, at O'Leary's. But anyway.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a different situation.
It always is. That's a terrible beast.
So, the next time I went to Halifax, I kind of figured that I probably wasn't allowed to do your show on, I think it was the company house show, but I did ask Frank and he was kind of weird about it. I said, I assume not. That's because, like. Because of the situation. Well, he kind of responded back like, no, and don't ask me again until you and her resolve your stuff.
Oh.
So, yeah.
When
that
was that?
That
last
would
year?
Have been, yeah, last time. It was when I did that. It would have been September 2016.
I don't even think that was brought past me.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I don't know. I was probably still blocked on Facebook. Are you going to just
ask? Yeah, well, that's why I reached out to him. And I wasn't sure how actively angry you were. Because, you know, it seems a lot more intense on when you're just reading it on the screen than it probably actually was.
And when it's still happening. When it's over, that's a lot of wasted energy. Yeah. That's, to me, I'm just like, and now it's on to, now it's Monday. The cycle starts over.
And I saw you at the, you were at the Every Comedian in New Brunswick thing, but we didn't interact.
I didn't interact with anyone.
After the fact, I felt bad because, my set ended with me spiking the cheeseburger on set, and then you were right after me, and I had heard that you'd picked up my cheeseburger and were kind of angry, angrily threw it in the garbage after you walked off stage.
No, I was just 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I was, that whole show, I was like, I met like 5 people this weekend, like comics, like local comics. And they're like, no, we met at, you know, the Every Comic in New Brunswick. I was like, oh, I was not there at all. I was crazy anxious. I did not think I could do anything in 3 minutes. But then I was aware of the cheeseburger the whole time. So I picked it up. I don't think it was angry. People project.
It's
Hold
true.
Your shit, people.
If it was a man, they would have said he assertively threw out that cheeseburger.
Or if they weren't projecting, maybe I was like, bam, done on stage. Take that, cheeseburger. Yeah. Like, I was so happy to get off the stage.
Yeah, that whole thing was just... I don't think I'd ever done a 3-minute set before.
I hadn't. I'd never. And I didn't think I even could.
And there was, I think, at least 4 people that I was currently on weird terms with at the time. So it was kind of fraught.
And there, when there's like 300 people on a show and they're all waiting in a high school, it's weird.
So then, I think the only other time we ran into each other, I did Barely's, and you kind of inadvertently intimidated me a little bit. I got to Barely's and I just started walking upstairs towards the upstairs room. Just, it was unexpected to see you like right there, 10 feet away. And I just completely, for some reason, I just turned around and walked away with my tail between my legs. And then after that, I felt like such a pussy for doing that.
When
and
was that?
That would have been back in September.
I need to pay attention.
So I made myself to like regain my manhood after cowering away like that. When you were on, I actually went down and made a point of sitting like right in the front. Like
You know what? I do remember that because I was like, "Oh, there's John sitting in the front, so that I know he's here." Yeah, make me laugh. And I was like, "I'm gonna try. I don't think I did.
I'm not a good laugher anyway." But I wouldn't have gone down there just on my own as some sort of thing. But somebody that I'd met at like a storytelling workshop earlier that day showed up and she was sitting down there. So I went down to join her and like, right. I'm here.
That's funny. Yeah. What a stupid thing. Just all of it. I love when I meet people and they've never been to a comedy show. I just immediately just want to be like, and conversation end. Because, like, I can't. It's such a small bubble, but it's our whole world. Mm. And it's so funny when people hear about, like, drama and stuff. Like, we have a lady that has started doing comedy, and she's like, I thought actors had drama, but comedians are insane.
Is there a lot of drama down in Halifax?
No, I wouldn't say a lot, and it wouldn't last, and most of it is usually my fault, so it's really not good, I guess. I would say no. For the most part, everybody gets along and is supportive, and there are some really great comics slugging it out all the time, and so even if you don't like someone, you have to respect them. They're doing their thing. Yeah, and I just tend to be a social scorcher. I'm working on it. I am actively working on it.
Yeah, well, that's good. I do the same thing. This isn't the first reconciliation episode. I've had Shane Ogden in here. We've had many fights.
And, I mean, no one can attest better than Shane Ogden to social scorching and learning new ways. Like, I love Shane. I've known Shane for years, and he and I understand that about each other because we're both nightmares. And when you lose your temper, especially about the thing you love, like, God, we're hot-headed.
Well, yeah, we're used to just saying our opinions into a microphone. So.
And then holding nothing back. Sometimes I go back and I read an email, and I'm just covered in shame. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that happens to me at work, too. Sometimes, like, I'll send an email, like, this is a thing that happened that... But if it had been done, like, this is how it should have gone, just the next time as a heads up. I'm thinking I'm being very, like, diplomatic, but then they read it as, like, you stupid idiot, you screwed up so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I blame, like, immediate communication, like texting and such.
Yeah.
Like, if we still wrote letters, this wouldn't happen as much.
Well, even when that happens, I'll look at the email and I'll need somebody who's got less autism than I do to explain what should I have said differently? Where are the trigger words in this thing? It seems very reasonable to me.
It's like, you capitalized dirtbag, John.
That'll do it. So yeah, we're all still ridiculous people, but at least we're getting older now and we can at least talk about it. And
I think we're evolving, are we not? We're all growing. There also has to be some camaraderie in comedy. I mean, this is a ridiculous dream and it is very hard and there's very little payoff. You don't need the people who understand that more than anyone else blocking you and making it harder.
Yeah, I have a better time being friends than afraid of you.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were afraid.
Well, that might be a strong word, but I just it was very jarring because we had been friends previous to that, and then all of a sudden I saw
which is why my reaction was big because it seemed like what I was hearing was John Ford is talking mad smack about you on the intrawebs, and I don't. know any of it. And then I've got like Splude is mad at me. I don't even remember what happened with Splude, but it exploded and it got way out of hand. And then I just literally just like, it's like write off forever. Okay. And then, so that's why when you approached me and you were like, this was, you know, stupid. What are we doing? I was like, oh, I forgot. I'm so used to having whoops somewhere in the background.
Yeah.
But no, it's always better to just move forward and learn and let things go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, we'll probably get into a fight again someday if we know each other for long enough. But hopefully we can work it out.
Probably. But I think if you actually grow from something, that you approach it differently every time. And then you can sidestep it. You know? I don't know. Come to Halifax and do my shows.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely need to get back down there. I think there's lots of new people that I haven't seen, too. Like
tons.
Especially at your shows. I see you posting the pictures, and I don't know who any of those people are.
They're coming out of the woodwork. Apparently, we're making it look fun and easy.
All right, well, let's turn the volume up on the phone before I hit play and make sure this thing is all right. Let's take a break, and this is Roddy Piper by POS, and then we'll come back on St. John Forward Radio with more Chanel.
Killer pizza, awful people, fucking whores, yeah, church and steeple. I've been the one to stop the leak before it floods. I've been the one to push the barrel of the gun away. My name is Steph, I came to press on someone else's person. My name is POS, I cut these fuckers, I'm a surgeon. Ready to fuck them up, malpractice, fuck or what? Knackered and peckish, yup, pants off like pucker up. All up in your trench, digging in your shit. While you sitting on the bench, I'm steady playing in the minions. Yeah, living like a mensch, spitting on your shit. While you're trying to find it in, I've been making new beginnings. Yeah, facts can break your face and make you real. That can make these fakers pace and chill. Corner bar, Johnny jumped up and wrecked me hard. Sick of questions, check my face, I'm staring somewhere far. Where my lessons, cold compresses, keeping up my guard. Frame of reference, keep it pressing, collect all my scars. She told me, he told her about me, but he was trying to fuck. She said, he said, I'd be out there just trying to push my luck. She was all like, he was all like, that dude is not the one to trust. He was all right, was a cool night, instantly tried to sneak a touch. You see these empties, please don't tempt me, reach my ending, chill. You see I'm bending, why you trying to keep me sipping still? Haters hate, punishers fucking punish, huh? Yeah, I just came to do two things, fresh out of bubble gum. Fuck off, yeah. Fuckers, I'm trying to sleep.
City wanna copy what I'm thinking, there's just one of me. I'm known to body everything they put in front of me. When you think of mine, they think of somewhere you don't wanna be. Anything you got, I promise one day it'll belong to me. I'd have been about profit, knock, knock, knock. Who the fuck keep knocking like that? And if it ain't about money, I won't answer, you'll keep knocking like that. I can offer to find the things that you've lost and bring back. But I rather would find the things that you lost and keep up. I don't have to reason, that's only half the reason. You don't need to know my mistress, Victoria's my secret. When I start creeping for the weekend, no one can see me when I'm leaving. There's a lot to believe in, just believe what you need to. I don't lose sleep for no reason, I lose sleep for my people. I didn't have dreams without sleeping, when I sleep it seems like it's dreamless. There's a lot to believe in, just believe what you need to.
Hanging out with fun, no feeling. We having too much fun. Scream. I'm the deafest motherfucker telling you all that I heard it. Got the entire ass in my hands. Two hands, full squeeze. I'm drunk on Bloody Mary, screaming bloody murder. I just lost my pants. Yeah, I was trying to get some Z's, but now I'm like, please, just pass some over here. I'm feeling just as sad as I had ever felt. Funny, I can't shed a tear. Fly.
And we are back here on St. John Forward Radio, here with Chanel Freire. I keep putting the I in there.
You're supposed to roll the R's and everything. It's very complicated. I don't.
So yeah, we've got like 9 minutes left, and I don't know what else to talk about. I guess what do you want to? It's not really your thing anymore. But your previous venue was there was some controversy around that. It got shut down. But.
Yeah, that is funny because I really am not entirely sure what happened. I parted ways with Frank Russo for, we'll call them personal differences. Mm-hmm. They used to call us left and right brain. And that was very accurate. Okay. So, or he referred to us as he was business and I was heart. And you know, comedy, how business it is. So I decided to leave. And then I guess there was a podcast that went out where a comic was talking, you know, in an unflattering way about a transgender woman that people know, and it got back, and I think they didn't really apologize right away, or they kind of tried to defend it. Basically, it was just people talking about things they don't know anything about, and not being responsible about it. And then the comics felt censored, and they were the passion was kind of coming from that more than anything else. They weren't really defending what was said; they were sort of defending the right to say whatever they want.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of checked out because I don't like being censored either, but I think the onus is on us to not be ignorant assholes. Do your work. If you're talking about an experience that has not directly happened to you, you have better put in the work, you know, at bare minimum, Google it. I heard comics going up ranting on premises that were just inaccurate from the get-go, like not understanding what the word cisgender means, and then having a whole set angrily like accusing the gay community of labeling them as this thing. And I'm just like, I told him, I was like, dude, we Googled John Cougar Mellencamp's birthday this morning. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have looked up what does cisgender mean before you do 10 minutes alienating the crowd, because that bar was really important to the LGBTQ community, the company house. It was huge. And then they changed hands and there was a lot of tumult already. They were upset and people felt like they'd lost, you know, a place that felt like home to them. And my understanding was the owners wanted all the same things. They wanted everyone to stay and to still come and feel comfortable there. And they were working hard for that. So that was already a tense dialogue happening with the company house. And so the podcast came in and just reaffirmed what felt like, you know, kind of homophobic tendencies. And well,
The other perspective that I heard on it was just that because of that friction with the community, because of the change in ownership, they were kind of already out for blood anyway, and were looking for a reason.
I think it was a little bit of all of it. Like, people were already hurt and sensitive, and then everyone was not careful in moving forward. So if things are already tense and a group of people feels alienated and hated, maybe saying hateful things towards that group of people might be a bad thing. You know, it was sensitive.
Right, but isn't... it's unfortunate that it was recorded and went out as a podcast, but part of comedy is, like you said, going up over and over again, and sometimes you don't know if that thing is the wrong thing to say or not, and sometimes you find out on stage.
Well, sometimes what we find out on stage is that that comic is ignorant. That's what we're finding out, and that's what was happening. That was a...
But not,
I know
not,
the
not
comedian,
every time somebody makes a joke about something, it's not the same as like declaring this is
absolutely
fact that I think.
Definitely. But that's just it. We don't get to... This is a... It's a craft that we're doing. You've got to put in the work. And if it was maybe not what they meant to say, they could have, I don't know, retracted the statement or said something else. Like, I just don't think it was handled well. to be honest. I also hated the podcast, and that was a big part of why I wanted to leave. I thought it lacked content and purpose and was awful, and I've never listened to it once, including the podcast in question. Never fucking listened to it once. I heard about what happened, and I was really sad because that bar was awesome, and that group is fantastic, and the owner was lovely, her and her husband, and they ended up receiving like threats at their home, and their children were threatened, and just things.
Like, I like having a show where that would have been fine. I probably wouldn't have, like, there's lines that I choose not to cross myself, but I like having my show as a place where people don't need to worry about it. But I don't think that every show needs to be that. But
no,
I think it's important to have one, so because I think it should be okay to just riff and say something stupid that you regret later, but I'd rather that kind of come out and you find out, okay, oops, rather than just, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for this, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I don't know.
The key is also the difference between live performance, it's kind of ephemeral, and then a recorded podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, if things are still healing, tread softly.
Yeah,
life lessons, guys.
All right. Well, that's a good place to wrap up, I think.
Right.
So thank you, Chanel Frere. Is there anything you want to plug or say at the end of this where people can find you? I can put some links in the notes.
They can find me on Facebook or at the local on Monday nights or the Oasis on Tuesday nights. And I was just going to say, wake up, St. John. Come support your comedy. You can get some more comedy.
Yeah.
You need to laugh.
All right. So as far for me, I forgot to mention it on last week's show, but yesterday, by the time this comes out on Monday night, I will have performed at the Roast Battle quarterfinals at McGill's on Sunday. So I'm sure it went great. And then this weekend, last week, I think on the show, I said the Arbar show was on... or no, it is the 16th. What am I talking about? Never mind. Yeah, next Saturday, September 16th at the Arbard No Jokes Bard. This Friday, September 16th has already passed. We're in a whole different month. This Friday, the show I'm promoting is the O'Leary's No Jokes Bard Deluxe on October 6th. And then the correction is... last month I said Tyson was going to be on October 16th or something. It's the 21st. Anyway, join a Facebook group. You don't need to hear the notes from me. You don't have your pens out. Let's just wrap up the show here. This has been St. John Forward Radio. We are usually live every Monday night from 9 to 10 o'clock, and the podcast comes out on johnforward.com every Wednesday. So thank you for listening, and that's all for tonight. Thank you.